have church every Sunday at 10 o'clock. Just, you know, it's every Sunday. Yep. Just to let people know. Anyway, it's time for kids' church, age 3 through grade 4. Have fun and be good. Well, the weather has changed. I think we can actually have Thanksgiving now and be official about it. Yeah. And it's been so nice so long that even though it's really not all that frigid out there, it feels cold. We're just not used to it. You have some Thanksgiving plans this week? Having people over, or are you going somewhere? A little bit of everything. All right. Well, it's the time of year that the stores start putting out Christmas stuff. Actually, it's already been out for a little while. And it's not uncommon for people to begin putting together a Christmas list, wish list, that sort of thing. Some might even be thinking ahead to the new year and even drawing up some resolutions already. But there's another thing that we often overlook, and that's Thanksgiving Day. And we should have a list of things we're thankful for on Thanksgiving Day. Now, there are some housewives that shared some things that they were especially thankful for. That'd be all right if I shared those with you? Okay. They were thankful for automatic dishwashers because they make it possible for us to get out of the kitchen before the family comes back in for their after-dinner snacks. They're also thankful for husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house because they usually make them big enough to call in the professionals. I've done that. For children who put away their things and clean up after themselves, there's such a joy. You hate to see them go home to their own parents. For teenagers, because they give parents an opportunity to learn a second language. For smoke alarms, because they let you know when the turkey's done. Those are fun. Well, I thought this morning the title of the message is Thanks Living, and that'll be really the second part of the message. The first part is really is I just want to give a little history of Thanksgiving in America, just to refresh all of us. What comes to mind mostly when you think of Thanksgiving? I think feasting is probably up there. We feast at Thanksgiving. And I'm going to talk about the history of Thanksgiving in America, but we also need to understand that this idea of Thanksgiving and feasting is actually quite biblical. God established a number of feasts in the scriptures, and they were to commemorate special days, things that God had done in the lives of the Israelites, and they had these grand feasts. And so for us to celebrate a day and feast is actually quite biblical for us to do that. Now, the very first Thanksgiving, though it was not called Thanksgiving, happened in 1620. The Pilgrims landed in America late in the year, okay? And their first winter here was quite devastating. Food and shelter were minimal, and just about everybody got sick. In fact, it was so bad at one point that two or three people would die in one day. That's just how bad it was. And through that first winter, nearly half of the population died. In one winter, okay? But the next summer, things improved. And so one day that fall, four settlers were sent out to hunt for food for a harvest celebration. And the natives heard the gunshots and alerted their leader, who thought the English might be preparing for war. So he visited the English settlement with 90 of his men to see if the war rumor was true. But soon after their visit, they realized that the English were only hunting for the harvest celebration. Now, this is in 1621. So their leader sent some of his own men to hunt deer for the feast. And then for 3 days, the English and the native men, women, and children ate together. That was the very first one. And although prayers and thanks were probably offered at this 1621 harvest gathering, the first actually recorded Thanksgiving Day in Plymouth happened 2 years later in 1623. And on this occasion, the colonists gave thanks to God for rain after a two-month drought. And Governor Bradford made this proclamation in the year 1623. To all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forests to abound with game, and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the raids of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and ye little ones, do gather at ye meeting house between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to Almighty God for all his blessings. That was the first official Thanksgiving. And can you imagine, you know, that very first year they lost half of everybody that was with them, but now they're beginning to prosper and God has blessed them. Boy, do they have something to be thankful for at that point. And so they made it official. Then in 1789, George Washington made this proclamation. And listen to this. I find this very interesting. He says, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And listen to this. And whereas both houses of Congress, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many favors of Almighty God. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. Isn't that good? George Washington. And Congress recommended he did it. That's awesome. I wish we lived in a state like that nowadays. Then from that moment on, the holiday was celebrated sporadically, and the dates would vary from year to year. A magazine editor named Sarah Josepha Hale helped organize a movement to make Thanksgiving a national holiday. Finally, in 1863, President Abraham set aside the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Lincoln declared another Thanksgiving Day the following year, as did his successor, Andrew Johnson. Other presidents followed the new tradition annually, with the date varying slightly from year to year. Then, President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed a bill on November 26, 1941, which finally established the fourth Thursday of November as our national Thanksgiving Day. That's the history of Thanksgiving in America. Now, today, Thanksgiving is a mixture of genuine thanksgiving and some not so thankful yet festive gatherings. Typically, it's a time of family, feasting, and football. That's the American holiday today. I want to say, as Christians, I believe we should always be sure to make the holiday a day of giving thanks to God. We should do that. And we should not just have a day for thanksgiving, but we should have a lifestyle of thanks living. Okay? Let's talk about thanks living for a little bit. Somebody said, gratitude shouldn't be an occasional incident, but a continuous attitude. For Christians, that is absolutely the truth. Shouldn't just be a once-in-a-while thing, but we should always be grateful people. Let me just give you a couple of things that the Bible says we can be thankful for. One is, we should be thankful for other believers. Look around the room. Aren't you thankful for these people? Have some good friendships here, some good encouragement through difficult times. thankful for other believers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 says, "We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." We share some work together in the kingdom of God, and I'm thankful for all of you. We should be thankful for each other. Philippians 1, verse 3 says this, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." We're partners in the gospel. We're partners with God, and we're partners with each other in the gospel of the kingdom of God. And I'm thankful that it's not up to me all by myself. How about you? Thankful for other believers that we are working together to promote the kingdom of God. And then the scripture says we should be thankful for faith and love. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 says this, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints." And then 2 Thessalonians 1, 3 says, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing." Aren't you thankful for the love that we have in Christ? How much God loves us? That's the place to start, but then also the love we share for each other. I mean, to me, the church is like an extension of my family. Other relationships just aren't the same, but the church is very similar to my family. I'm thankful for that. And the faith that we can have in Jesus Christ, I'm thankful for that. How lost would we be without the Lord? He gives us the opportunity to put our faith in him. And then I want to say this, thankfulness is accompanied by peace. And I know people always want peace in their lives. They don't want the turmoil and the trouble, they want peace. Well, peace comes with thankfulness, okay? Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So make your requests known, but be thankful. And then the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. They go hand in hand. So often we just pray for peace. "Lord, I just need some peace in this situation." Let's start by being thankful first. And so many things just flow naturally out of thankfulness. And with that in mind, thankfulness should be a priority. Ephesians 5:4 says, "Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." So we need to watch what we say, church. We need to be careful what we say. Last week I made a comment about posting opinions on Facebook. You know, and we kind of laughed about that. But actually, we should be careful about what we're saying and even what we're posting on Facebook. I know I'm meddling right now. I'm getting in your business, but that's my job. Okay? Foolish talk, obscenity is out of place. Rather, thanksgiving is appropriate for the believer. That's what should come out of us. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says this, "I urge then first of all that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness." First of all. Did you catch that? "I urge then first of all that prayer and intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone." People in authority, we're to be thankful for them, and we are to be praying for them. Got it? Okay? And I know we recently had an election that's obviously very divisive in our country because, man, it's just divided right down the middle, almost an exact number of votes, and people got opinions all around it. But the Bible does not let Christians off the hook at all. We are to pray for our leaders and even be thankful for them, regardless of whether you like them or not. That's what the Bible says. And then thankfulness is always appropriate. It's always appropriate to be thankful. You know, there's some things you got to be careful when you say it and how you say it, but thankfulness can just come anytime. It's one of those things that's just always good. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Thanks in all circumstances. There's always something to be thankful for. It's been said, he who forgets the language of gratitude is not likely to be on speaking terms with God. There's always something to be thankful for. Always. Listen to this. Ephesians 5:19 says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I read that and I really hear the words, I find that very challenging. Always giving thanks, okay, that all by itself can be hard sometimes because we face life's problems and we get sidetracked and it's hard to be thankful. You understand? Always giving thanks, that's hard enough. But then he says, always giving thanks for everything. Oh, wow, I just flunked the test. For everything? For everything? It's what the Bible says. And can I be perfectly honest with you? I don't like that. If it was up to me, I would take that part out and say, how about I give thanks to God in the midst of everything or something like that instead. But it actually says, give thanks to God for everything. That's what it says. Doesn't matter that I don't like it. It's there. Now, I found an interesting story. Some of you may have heard this before that kind of helps us understand this thought. It comes from Corrie Ten Boom, who was in the concentration camps in Nazi Germany. And she and her sister Betsy had just been transferred to the worst German prison camp they had seen yet, Ravensbrück. Upon entering the barracks, they found them extremely overcrowded and flea-infested. Their scripture reading that morning in 1 Thessalonians had reminded them to rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances. Betsy told Corrie to stop and thank the Lord for every detail of their new living quarters. Corrie at first flatly refused to give thanks for the fleas. But Betsy persisted. And so she finally succumbed and she actually gave thanks for the fleas. And during the months spent at that camp, they were surprised to find how openly they could hold Bible study and prayer meetings without the guards interfering. It was several months later when they learned that the guards would not enter the barracks because of the fleas. There you go. Thankful for the fleas. That's a hard concept, but there is some validity here that we can see in that simple story. To be thankful for everything. It reminds me of Romans 28, verse 11, isn't it? Is that the one I'm thinking of? God works for good. 8:28, Romans 8:28. Yeah, I don't know why I got my numbers wrong there. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God is always working for your good. No matter what your circumstances are, God is working for your good. So we can always be thankful. God is working for our good. So I want to say, make an effort today to recognize the blessings you have come to take for granted. And I think that's common to all of us. There are some things that we just got so accustomed to that we don't even say thanks anymore. I think maybe we should back up and let's say thanks. Focus on what you have rather than on what you don't have. And see if it doesn't improve your attitude. And let me give you some practical suggestions. Be thankful that you don't already have everything you want. If you did, what would there to be looked forward to? Be thankful when you don't know something. Gives you an opportunity to learn. Be thankful for the difficult times, because during those times, we grow. Be thankful for each new challenge, because it will build strength and character. Be thankful even for your mistakes. They will teach you valuable lessons. Be thankful when you're tired and weary, because it means that you have made a difference. There's always something to be thankful for. Helen Keller. You know the story of Helen Keller? You know, the description of her life is not what most people would sign up for. Okay, but she says, "So much has been given to me, I have no time to ponder over that which has been denied." Wow, what a positive attitude. Heart of gratitude. And somebody wrote this brief article and said, of all the choices we make in life, few affect us more powerfully than our choice between gratitude and grumbling. An honest look at our lives will reveal which choice we have made. If it's grumbling, we probably see few blessings. If it's gratitude, we not only find innumerable blessings, they seem to find us. I like that. Paul taught that a heart overflowing with thankfulness comes from being grounded in faith. In Philippians, he pled with the believers, even repeating himself, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." So which choice have you made? Grumbling or gratitude? Grumbling overlooks blessings, but gratitude finds blessings everywhere. There's always something to be thankful for. If we pause to think, we will have cause to thank. Just pause for a moment and think about it. There's something to be thankful for. And with a little practice, anyone can master the art of thankfulness. Anyone can do it. We need to be people who live a life of thanksgiving. I know we all have something planned for this week. We'll be doing something special as well, and feasting and all of those things. But let's be sure we're thankful, especially this week. But really, it should be just a part of who we are as followers of Christ. Always thankful and grateful for what God has done in our lives, for the friends we have, for family, and on and on and on. And yes, even some of those things that we don't think are much of a blessing. According to Scripture, we should learn to say thanks. And God will help us to see what He's doing in our lives. What are some things you are thankful for today? You can see. Yeah. Mom? And Dad? Okay. What else? Education. Thank you. A warm building. Job. Jesus. Yeah. Health. Coffee. Okay. Family. His word, breath, friends, planets. I'm sorry? Problems. Like I think most of us are in agreement that's a little harder to get a hold of, but we understand it's biblical. Solutions. There you go. That one's a little easier. prayers answered. Water. There you go. There. Salvation. Yep. Grace. Oh, that's a good one. Life. Doctors. Forgiveness. Children. Hairspray. Okay, if we're going to go on that, I'll add deodorant. And breath mints. Now, what else? Kleenex, okay. You got others? This could last all day. I don't intend for it to last all day, but it really could. Schools, crops, cross, yes, the Bible, music, laughter, yeah, a home, transportation, light. Friendships. Everything. Yeah, the conveniences of living in America. Freedom. Silence. Our military. Yep. You see how the list can just build and build? Things we're grateful for. And I don't know about you, but I just feel like a sense of peace and, you know, just I just feel better when we do this. I mean, we just spent maybe 5 minutes there, a bunch of people just sharing something briefly, and I just feel uplifted. How about you? That's what gratitude can do. And it's not just for our own benefit. It's simply the right thing to do because the Bible says so. But we really do have a lot to be thankful for, and we should be grateful all the time. Thanks living. Let's do that, okay? Would you please stand and let's pray. God, we give you thanks today. As we say, we can never thank you enough for what you've done through Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. But we will say the words, thank you, Lord. And God, there's so many things for us to be thankful for. Help us to be godly people who are filled with thanksgiving and gratitude. Help us, Lord, not to be amongst those who are constantly grumbling, but rather be filled with gratitude, to let your light shine through us. And Lord, I pray that you would fulfill your word, that as we're thankful that you will fill us with your peace. I know you'll do it. But Lord, we long for that. And we long for your presence with us as well. Now, Lord, as we go from here today, help us to have a good week, but also just to be thankful every day and throughout the day. Help us to be those kind of people. Give us grace for that, Lord, I pray. And Lord, that part about being thankful for everything. Lord, I think most of us probably struggle with that, so help us with that. Give us grace with that. Help us to understand and to expand our hearts and minds to be grateful for everything as your word instructs us. And again, Lord, we say thank you. Go with us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God's blessings on you. Have a great week. Please join us here in a little bit across the hall in the gym for a potluck.